I think the idea that they are not in this alone, that they are doing similar work with others, and that they have an opportunity to collaborate with like-minded teachers doing like work daily is incredibly powerful.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The Network. I am Corey Mohn. I am your host today, and we have with us a very special guest, someone that has been part of CAPS from really the beginning, and that is Mr. Chad Ralston, the director of the program here in Blue Valley. Welcome, Chad.
Hi, welcome, Corey.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, well, you've been here much longer than I have, so I guess you should be welcoming me into what we're doing here. I'm excited to have you. You know, one of the things that we feel is really special about CAPS and where we sit in kind of the world of education right now is the culture that gets built around this program. And, you know, kind of a little bit of a preview of some things I think we'll have some good conversation about today is, you know, just how this all came to be and and how it works, because I have found just from being both here in Blue Valley and moving around with partners in other parts of the country that this is not the easiest thing to figure out, but when you do, it becomes a really powerful thing. So excited to have you. I know that you are a big fan of hot wing competitions.
I am.
Podcasts, and we unfortunately do not have hot wings with us today.
Oh, man.
For our talk, but there's always possibility of doing something down the road. So we'll just have to be entertaining.
I think the truth always comes out when you eat something really, really spicy. I mean, next time, let's do
next
that.
Next time. So for our listeners, a little bit of a refresher and kind of a view of what we're trying to do with this podcast, which is really giving some more visibility to all the great things that are happening throughout this CAPS movement and the network that we have here and all of our partners and allowing people to have more of a chance to connect with and share stories around what's going on so we can all continue to get better and learn and continue to move this forward. So with that, so I mentioned, Chad, that you're the director of the Blue Valley CAPS program. Wondering if maybe you could just intro us a little bit more into who you are, what this role really is, anything else you'd like to share.
Yeah, so effectively, I'm the principal of our program here in Blue Valley and have been around since we opened the facility 10 years ago, actually. So, it, you know, my role here is of similar ilk to a building principal, certainly. But, you know, there's a couple big differences, I think, in what my role would be than a traditional high school. First of all, when you think about the level of discipline, a daily discipline load that occurs, I don't care where you are around the country in any high school, it certainly can be overwhelming. And to be quite honest with you, that's something that I haven't had to deal with a lot here, other than my role as helping students grow. And what I mean by that is oftentimes I'll have students that come to me wanting maybe more. Maybe they want to extend their learning even further. And matter of fact, when we first opened the program, I remember students coming into my office and saying, you know, this class is really great, but I'd like to do more. And you know, anytime that we got too didactic with instruction, our instructors, for example, maybe they were lecturing too much or maybe they weren't giving enough authenticity to the projects, students would voice it. And I'm so thankful for that, because that's how we grow. The idea that we were responsive during those early years, honestly, was maybe the smartest thing we ever did, is listen very intently to our students. So that's something that over time we've really grown to be a culture here, the idea of being responsive to students. Certainly, I do not have to deal with the typical day-to-day disciplinary actions that a normal principal would take, simply because I think students are in a place where they are engaged. They're choosing an area. Yeah. They're choosing to be here. And that choice, that engagement We all know, anybody who's been in education, if you have students that are engaged, then those things are going to go away. The other thing that is so important is my role is also outside of these walls in terms of engagement with business partners, in terms of engagement with individual projects and that students are engaged in. And as well, I think professional development in my role is for teachers specifically, and onboarding new teachers, which could be a huge challenge for sure, is another part of my role that, although is very typical, the way we go about it oftentimes is not as typical. You know, we want to try to engage our new teachers and our existing teachers with professional development that comes outside of education, frankly. And oftentimes is something that's sort of industry standard and borrowing from the work that our industry partners are doing.
So that's, you know, interesting. One of the things that I noticed when I came here was something I didn't expect, but I had no context around education and in terms of a day-to-day, but it was this idea and this kind of feeling that it can be very uncomfortable for a career educator, whether they're a teacher or an administrator, to have that outward-facing engagement, that it's not necessarily part of the normal rhythm of a day for someone who's in that kind of a role. What would your advice be to someone who's stepping into this as a new teacher or even a new administrator that's now managing a CAPS program? You know, how do you do that? How do you get started?
What a great question. You know,
Thank you.
One of the great things that we actually happy accident that happened to us, if we go all the way back to the very beginning, you know, when we started this program, we didn't quite have a facility ready. So a year prior to the facility being open, we actually asked business partners to open their doors to students. So students were out and about in the businesses around us. And that was actually a great problem because what it did is it allowed our instructors to get out of their comfort zone. Oftentimes, you know, as educators, we spend our whole life in classrooms, right? Whether we're students or as a teacher, and maybe we haven't had that engagement to a corporate environment or even something outside of education. So having our teachers out in the environment was incredibly important. And I suggest for anyone starting a program, whether you're going to do it in a satellite type environment or you have a standalone facility, get out into the community. Every summer, we try to allow our teachers to have some sort of externship opportunity. And we actually dedicate time for that. Likewise, when you're first starting at the semester, it's another good idea to get students and teachers out of the classroom and into the environments that they're trying to emulate. I think you can, there's no professional development better than living in those spaces and working in those spaces and getting out into them. So that certainly was a unique aspect of what we did at the beginning, and we learned a lot from that. The other thing that's unique about a lot of our CAPS programs around the country, actually, and certainly to us, is that we're able to give opportunities to teachers that maybe didn't think of education as their first career. Maybe they're coming to education as a second career. So, for example, we have about half of our teachers here that are in those professions. So it's a great, when I say in those professions, we have an attorney here that teaches our law class. We have an engineer that teaches our engineering class, right, et cetera. And that gives us an opportunity to learn from them and listen intently. And likewise, for our professional teachers that have been doing it their entire career, for them to lend advice on how to engage kids and how to make connections and all of the great pedagogical tools and tricks that they have to offer.
Yeah. So if I were coming to you as a new instructor in this model, and I'm looking to understand how an administrator, whether that's called a director or a building principal, or whatever the district decides to title the position, what can I expect or should I expect in terms of the support that I would get? And how would that be similar to a situation at a high school, for example? And how would it maybe be different? What's your philosophy and what's your support role with a teacher?
So one of the greatest things about what we do here is because we have a facility, because we have teams or strands of teachers, they are able to lean on each other quite a bit. And I think that is incredibly important to their development beyond anything that I would do or present to them. I think the idea that they are not in this alone, that they are doing similar work with others, and that they have an opportunity to collaborate with like-minded teachers doing like work daily is incredibly powerful. That being said, I think there is an element of just getting out of the comfort zone of a typical lesson thinking beyond the typical lesson planning where you have key objectives and you line all of those objectives out ahead of time and you make sure that you meet them in that way. I think a lot of the work we do in these CAPS programs is certainly aligned to all of the objectives that has to meet the high school credit, that has to meet the college credit, or any certifications that are necessary. But when you go about it working in an authentic environment where students are working on authentic projects, you have to be also able to kind of work with a just-in-time kind of attitude, where at times maybe you have to backward engineer those objectives. You set a plan, and students certainly engage into that plan, and the outcomes sometimes aren't linear. And I think that is an incredibly different kind of mindset that you might see in a typical classroom. The other mindset that I think is incredibly important is to have a growth mindset. So not all students are going to come to us at the same level or at the same experience. So we have to think of each of those individuals as having their own individualized plan. And when in sort of divorcing the typical standard-based grading system, and instead of thinking about growth in areas. Now, it may not be in every one of the three periods that we're able to do that in that math method, because there's certainly, when you're thinking about certifications, hard and fast objectives that just have to be met.
Sure.
But certainly, you have to have the opportunity for students in some portion of your class to be successful. You have to give them an opportunity to be judged on the growth that they're making, not just the bottom line.
Yeah, I've often thought about and mentioned as a kind of an example that, you know, for a teacher to pass on a opportunity that comes across their plate, whether that's, you know, later that day or tomorrow or later in the week, because they had scripted out a unit to teach for that day, is, as someone coming from kind of an entrepreneurial world, just seems absolutely insane to me. But I know that this profession has valued a linear, you know, objective-based approach, mm-hmm. and that can be a hard culture to overcome. So as we continue thinking about this, you know, there's this support of teachers in your role, but there's also the support of students. Mm-hmm. When they are trying to find their way, you know, on the rare chance, you mentioned earlier, it doesn't happen that often that you run into the major discipline issues, but it occasionally does. So what's been your approach in terms of the student engagement mm-hmm. in your role? And one thing I've particularly noticed is kind of a coaching approach mm-hmm. as opposed to an authority approach with kids. So maybe talk a little more about what that looks like for you or how it feels for you.
Yeah, typically students that are not performing well here, maybe they're having an attendance issue, or maybe they are just not quite connected in some way. It typically means there's an issue of engagement. Now, certainly there could be other things going on in their lives that we need to try to take care of or try to provide remedy to. But oftentimes if students aren't performing up to their capacity, it means that for whatever reason, they aren't engaged with what they're doing. So it could be interpersonal. It could be just a conflict of the time management or energy that they have to put towards something. So I think going in with the mindset of not trying to correct the behavior necessarily, but maybe thinking about what's the root cause. Are they in the right place? Are they thinking in a big enough picture? Are they able to cope with some of the interpersonal things that occur in this environment? And let's be frank, this can be really difficult for some students. When you think about oftentimes in a typical classroom environment, the expectations are very laid out, and oftentimes our students are given a rubric, and the expectations are known to everyone. here, oftentimes you have to be able to be responsive to criticism. And sometimes
it's harder for the higher performing students too.
Absolutely.
They're used to that success.
And there's an open-endedness to a lot of the things that we do that can feel, to some students like it's not organized well enough and they're not sure where to start.
Yeah.
And I think that's a conversation that we have often with students. And, I think we've been able to add a couple different tools that have really made a difference. One of those being sort of some leadership opportunities at Kansas Leadership Center, and what they do has really been impactful, not just directly to students, but it's also allowed me personally, as well as our instructors, to be able to come at problems in a different angle, to think more adaptively and with a coaching mentality when you're working with kids. And understanding that it isn't just about correcting a behavior. It's more holistic than that and typically takes a little bit of work, for a little bit more work maybe for some students than others, obviously.
And oh, by the way, an approach of correcting behavior doesn't work so well with adults either.
That is exactly true.
So we talk often about, treat kids as adults. That's something mm-hmm. we hear them say to mm-hmm. us a lot. And it's so funny how we deploy different strategies for different age cohorts and think that for some reason it makes sense to do that. And maybe in some cases when it relates to student safety and other things it does. But
sure.
But when you're talking about inherent motivators, it's, I found you're almost better off just assuming this is a colleague or a peer in a lot of situations and give them the same treatment you would want to have in a similar situation. Very interesting. So you referenced the Kansas Leadership Center. This is a group out of Wichita, mm-hmm. Kind of founded by the Kansas Health Foundation, doing great work, not just in the state of Kansas now. They're working in many parts of the world, but it's based on this adaptive leadership model that came out of Harvard, and CAPS being one of the first places that they experimented in terms of this use of this model with youth. It's been very powerful. I've seen you with students in conversations where you pull out the rusty, trusty quick guide card, which looks like something that you can pop into your pocket or your wallet, and just basically asking them questions, like probing questions. So how much of this kind of, again, kind of this coaching mentality, how much of this plays into your conversations?
You know, I think it's absolutely necessary. I think in terms of how we approach getting kids to the next level of whatever that is, in whatever area they want to go into, I think it's so important that you're able to look at a problem. KLC calls it getting on the balcony. Yeah. And instead of internalizing and making everything feel so personal, because any issue that we have, and especially with young people, oftentimes comes from that idea of self, right? And it can feel very, very personal. So even in a professional environment, so what we try to do is put those issues out on a table in a safe way where we can look at them in a less personal way. We call it getting on the balcony. And then you work through a couple of key statements and think about them deeper. And then that way you're able to work as it as a coach, rather than here's A, B, C steps in order for you to get to where you want to go. It's been really, really impactful.
So, Chad, you've been around now more than 10 years. This program was kind of celebrating a year-long birthday, year 10, actually into year 11 of the program, and you've been here for just about all of that. As we think more globally about just what we're trying to accomplish in terms of the purpose of the work and what it means and how it can feel. Any thoughts or, I don't know if it's reassurance or what it is, but anything that you would say as people enter into this world where they are doing something different than they're used to doing, and maybe different than anything that community, that district has ever seen, and the dynamics at play there. What would you share with folks that are getting started in terms of what they can expect to feel, what's normal, anything along those lines?
Yeah, ultimately, the work that we're doing here and across the country is change, right? And it requires change leadership. It requires people that understand that even though they're doing great work, it's going to be scary to some other people in the system. You know, we're part of a much bigger system, even within the Blue Valley School District, when you think about it that way. So when we first began our program, we really were intentional about helping our instructors understand that this is change and what that meant to the bigger system. We used a model called orbiting the giant hairball, where in order for us to really be effective, we have to be working at a distance from the larger system. But if we get too far away from that system, then we can't be effective either. So having leaders that are fearless, having leaders that understand no matter what direction you take, it is going to cause the system a little bit of disruption. And as well, be able to shield teachers at times from some of that negativity that can happen from other people in the system that feel like they're maybe losing something because there's this other system that's taking things in their minds away.
Sometimes I often feel like it's that the model can be a bit of an irritant, right? It's like it's a negative way of looking at it, right? But the idea that, you know, it's something that will bother the larger system. It's not the normal course of action. And that can get frustrating. You mentioned orbiting the hairball. So that's the former creative director at Hallmark, Gordon McKenzie, great book. Mm-hmm. I'm sure many of you that are listening, if you've been around us long enough, have gotten a copy of that or read it. But if not, definitely check that out. In fact, if you drop by and see us here in Overland Park, we'll even give you a copy. We've got a number of them on hand. So as we are kind of getting towards the end here, Chad, you know, one thing that I like to ask people is what is their big dream? What's a moonshot idea that they have, whether it's for their own life or it's something they do with CAPS and the workplace? Is there something that's like a really big aspirational goal or idea or dream that you have that you'd like to, you know, would love to get to at some point?
You know, to be honest with you, I feel like I feel so lucky to be in the position I am and feel so lucky to be working with the caliber of people that I do, that it's hard to think that it could get much better than it is now. Mm. I think one of the things that I really would like to keep focusing on is how we can keep increasing the level of engagement of students in what we do in the classrooms. And maybe some systemization to that can be, that's done in a way that can be easily communicated to any classroom. So transitioning ourselves to the things that we've learned over time here that could go into any classroom anywhere in the country and be valuable. Mm. I think we're testing out of a lot of ideas. I think we're sort of doing a lot of small research projects that I would love to see implementation in a bigger way across the network, possibly, or even across the district, and even across the world. I think that's the importance of the work we're doing.
Yeah, well, that would be an awesome world to have pieces of CAPS in every classroom across the globe. That would be something. And why not? Why don't we do it? It's like the guide that Susan and I had on Mount Kilimanjaro, that when anytime we would be sick or we would think we weren't going to make it, he'd just say, well, let's go to the top. Why not? I love that attitude. And I think we have it in spades here at CAPS. And Chad, thanks for being on.
My pleasure.
When I first came to CAPS 5 years ago, man, you were a huge help to me in trying to kind of get incorporated into this culture and understand what was going on. And I certainly felt a lot of the disruptive nature of what was happening with CAPS. And you're just a tremendous resource, not just for our teachers and our students, but for people across the country that are wanting to do this. People always enjoy visiting with you. So I know that this will be a very popular episode. So for everyone else out there, thank you for tuning in. You know that we believe the tipping point is near, and keep on doing the great work that you're doing, my friends, and we will all talk again very soon.